to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, Columbia CSL, and to those of you tuning in from far and wide, you are welcome here. I'm so grateful to be with you this morning. You know, I was remembering how many years, how many talks, how many keyholes I've pulled myself through in this beautiful spiritual journey of learning to love myself. And so, you know, we come together to explore new ways to think about who we are and all that is possible in life to experience by means of us. So yes, we begin a new monthly theme. September is healthy, wealthy, and wise, which I believe will turn us towards how we as people can really only know ourselves as creation itself. It's time, is it not? No longer is there God and I, but simply and truthfully, I am. Synthesizing who we believe we are in relationship with the concepts of healthy, wealthy, and wise, I think reinforces the source existing within and as each one of us. Together, we will address new self-perceptions that will allow us to consciously choose and receive greater prosperity in our lives across the board. I'm sure many of you are familiar with author Richard Rohr, and he tells us the true purpose of mature religion is to lead you to ever new experiences of your true self. If religion does not do this, it is junk religion. Every sacrament, every Bible story, every church service, every sermon, every hymn, every bit of priesthood, ministry, or liturgy is for one purpose: to allow you to experience your true self, who you are in God and who God is in you, and to live a generous life from that infinite source. So I invite you, while I'm sharing this message, to think about what would taking my next step as being the source of my own prosperity look and feel like. It is uncommon to define prosperity as sourced within the power of each individual. With such diversity amidst the globe and the economy the way it is today, and each of our unique daily situations that affect our lives. But the universal laws have long since stated it is done unto us as we believe. And according to numerous living examples of prosperity consciousness, it is indeed so. Dr. Ernest Holmes, our founder, purveyor of the man-universe connection, and most known as the founder of the teachings of Science of Mind, reflects in Jesus's prayer to an indwelling spirit as he states, "There is no place where God is not. We are whole, complete, and perfect just the way we are." This same concept enabled Job to exclaim, and I love this one, "In my flesh shall I see God." So in my flesh, meaning as my flesh, shall I not know, but see or perceive or experience and feel the presence God. So today I chose the idea fit for life and loving it. Living in a way that has us feel as though we are healthy, wealthy, and wise, and that no matter what is happening or happening around us, we can still love life as it is. You know, a life that is cultivated through pronouncing the unlimited. Think about that. living a life that is cultivated through pronouncing the unlimited rather than focusing on renouncing the lack in order to be self-sufficient, self-responsible, self-accountable free human beings. And we must be this in order to be free. We have nothing to lose, only something of great import and magnificence about our own truth of being to gain. And I'll throw in, of course, one of my favorites, we have nothing to fix or heal, only something to reveal, to experience in our journey into wholeness, right? As every aspect of lack thereof plays into our demonstration of movement forward in our lives and within any family, within any community or any organization, it therefore so too plays into, as the recognition of our truth received and embodied within our revelation of our spiritual truth, moving forward. So whether we believe in lack, whether we believe in the unlimited source expressing as us, it will always demonstrate out in our movement forward in our own lives. So Fit for Life brings us into that awareness that we're not special. We're not, but we are unique. That we can be in two places or many places at once, evolving our consciousness, meaning that one door needn't close in order for another to open. Fit for Life brings us into the awareness that pain pushes and vision pulls us. That when we experience being pulled is painful, when we feel an overwhelm from having been in the mystery, the unknown, the unfamiliar for too long, that we often look to the familiar, to grasp, to gain balance. But knowing that we can never really go backwards, because our expanded consciousness from being pulled by our vision will continue, and it will not let us remain too long running our old behaviors. We can count on that. Fit for Life is remembering that there is that within us that knows it knows, that is always active, no matter what we're thinking or doing. Now, ironic as it is, and many can relate to this, that as we intend and see movement away from the pain of our old thoughts and ways, they can still press up against us. And we at this time can fail to see our progress and feel the divine discomfort of our growth and have thoughts of reversing our direction, right? It's a natural inclination. But I like to remember at moments like this, and I actually had one yesterday as I was driving to a wedding to a place way up in the back 40 in a place called Summerland, BC. I like to remember that this feeling is like driving to a place I've never been before. The journey seems so long, much longer than it does coming back home, doesn't it? And I think that's why it's natural. We keep being pulled. It's like a rubber band being stretched and stretched and stretched. At one point we say, I don't want to stretch anymore. I can't stretch anymore. And we let go of the vision, the focus. What happens, right? Right back to where we began, but we're not right back. Someone once said to me, I am becoming the opening through which others experience the presence of God. Say that to yourself. I am becoming the opening through which others experience the presence of God. Sharam Shiva from Thief of Sleep says this, with the beloved's water of life, no illness remains. In the beloved's rose garden of union, no thorn remains. They say there is a window from one heart to another. So how can there be a window where no wall remains? As humans, I like to think of us as map-making creatures, you know, operating from a map that most often is outdated. You know, life, the territory described by the map, moves so quickly. And this means that the map drifts away from the territory, eventually becoming more of a freestanding artifact than really a useful guide. You know, when there's that wide gap between the map and life, the person who made the map feels uncomfortable. It has been a nice map, you know, and worked well for 5 minutes or 50 years, right? And now it doesn't work. Some data are disconfirming the map. In this situation, humans have two choices. One is a path of discovery in which the map is abandoned or redrawn over and over and over and over again. The other path is the one in which the more doubts you have about a map, the more strongly you insist that it is accurate. Because we are a human being, if we follow the latter path, we will be in conflict in our heart. Think of the map as a story we make up, fictional ideas that serve our need at the time to be right about something, about anything. And when we blame others or ourselves, or we guess or assume a reason, these are examples of made up stuff. This is our use of God mind creating. We create the drama of life. Actually, we create art. And you know, there's no wrong in this, but when we begin to think this work of art is real, we begin to suffer. Why? Because infinite intelligence is not static. It is infinite in ideas and ever fluid. And when our hearts are in conflict and we remain defending our map, we are burnt by what often seems to be the fires of hell. My friend Doug Craig says, Reverend Doug says, hell in the hallways, you know, between the intention, point A, the vision being pulled to the manifestation of the vision. Hell in the hallways. Ah, we escape with seared edges in the knowing and applying of these new ideas in old situations. This is use of an unlimited source of intelligence. This is how it goes. And the results are the undermining of our fictional stories, our maps that once served us, that can no longer keep up with our innate connection with life as it grows and expands. Let's look at relationship as an example. Can you imagine a life without disliking anything or anyone? Maybe that is your life. A life lived like that, I think, is sure to bring us closer to giving and receiving love, kindness, nurturing, trust. Perhaps a life lived without dislike would actually tear down every wall formerly felt and seen worldwide. I see my love with my map. Or I see my love without my map. I see my job or my spiritual community or my minister or my new business deal with my map, my old ways of thinking, or with faith in a divine, orderly, and affirmatively responsive universe that moves by the initiation of the beliefs I choose. The difference between what is and our map is what creates the conflicting feelings. So the first thing I ask myself when someone doesn't seem to be beautiful, so quick, go back to a time when you thought of a person as not very beautiful, right? So the first thing I ask myself is, why do I think they are not beautiful? And very shortly, I discover there is no reason. You know, we're drawn to beauty in the world. in others because we find a connection to that quality of spirit within us. We are also drawn because something within us seeks it. Equally, we are drawn to the pain of the world for the same reasons. And healthy, wealthy, and wise directly speaks to creating true relationships. And this speaks to how we use the law of mind and action, as and through our decisions to do so. Often, we use the law of mind and action to repeat our cycles of suffering. So I want to share with you again from my good buddy, my colleague, Reverend Doug Craig, who created a course from his own life lessons entitled Self-Sabotage. I was a prisoner of my own mind. Now, I took this course, and in it, he had a wonderful explanation of how it is possible for our objective mind to pull oneself and the other into relationship together and merge both as one idea in the mind of God. So he referred to it as the three-prong cycle of pain. Now, as I share this, you are welcome to change out the word pain with grief or sadness, loss, even love. As within the feeling of pain is love waiting to be revealed. It doesn't matter what feeling or word you use. The three-prong cycle will still illustrate how you bring yourself as a separate entity into the relationship with the other and merge as one in the idea of God. So it goes like this. Someone I love does or says something to me that causes me hurt. Now, since I create my reality, the truth here is that I have, through the law of attraction, created the exact reflective energy outside of me that causes me to hurt. So who is the cause of the hurt feelings? Now, if I inquire into my ways of being with me, I will find that I am the perpetrator upon myself and have drawn to myself the perfect mirror with which to see more clearly. Now, one might think or believe it stops there, but no, it's not so. In this model, the three cycle prongs of pain, there is one more relationship. And it is the relationship whereby the beliefs that about myself caused the hurt reflected back to me by someone else's actions are also present in my being the perpetrator upon someone else. Through the law of mind in action, both myself and the others have been brought together as the reflection of my own belief. And since I think with the mind of God, in the way I do through my own filter and perception, there is only one of me in the room. Now, we must acknowledge that this power within us is the infinite intelligence, and it plays a constant role as the source of all that we attract and repel with our energy, our words, and our actions. That is why love or pain or grief or sadness or anger is a three-way street, right? We are not alone. So how do we change this three-pronged cycle in our lives? We start with the reframing of the beliefs about ourselves as valuing ourselves, our deservingness, our ability, our birthright. When we change our consciousness, our actions towards others will reflect that change back to us, as will the actions of others upon us. Remember, there is only one mind, and that mind is my mind, your mind, now. And it is the love that I am, both inside and out. How many times a day do we cross that great divide from what is wholly known within us and what we temporarily seek after in order to make ourselves whole? I'm going to say that one again. Probably because it took me many years to bring this together in a cohesive thought. How many times a day do we cross the great divide from what is wholly known within us and what we temporarily seek after in order to make ourselves whole. Fit for life and loving it begins with a decision to be the love you want to have and see in the world. Then it takes the courage to set aside your old map and in the moment of new opportunity, despite the divine discomfort we may be feeling, apply this new idea. The solution of any difficulty is as near as our next thought. All the ideas of the infinite mind await our claim upon them. And it is, excuse me. It is a truth of the greatest importance. Excuse me. Oh my goodness. There is not something physical to be done. Often we want to move into or motor on into doing this busyness, but this is the time when we need to pause and stop. There's not something physical to be done. There is only a new idea to be thought, right? And when we're busy, we can't think it. Or we're not in the present moment, and still we can't reveal, download the new thought. All actions, all exchanges of love are dependent first on the thought. The greatest understanding is that life delivers itself into our capacity to receive it. And as a thinker, you think thoughts, and thus you have the key for controlling all the exchange of love that takes place within you, as you, and around you. We are not the moth that blindly moves towards the flame. We have choice to create true relationships in our lives starting now with ourselves, starting with creating new ideas that embrace love and beauty and the goodness that we are. Herein is a pure point of consciousness on the spiritual blueprint of infinite possibility rather than a speck on a static map of hope. Eckhart Tolle states, if the quality of our consciousness creates our reality, then what creates the quality of our consciousness? So as we practice the right use of this law of mind and action, the law of our own being in our subconscious mind changes, and we are up-leveling the quality of our consciousness. And when this happens, we start getting our mind and our body in the same space at the same time. And this is what we need to feel connected in order to feel alive. You know, Joseph Campbell says, people say that what we're all seeking is a meaning of life. I think we're really seeing it is an experience of being alive, so that our life experiences on a purely physical plane will have resonance with our innermost being in reality, so that we can actually feel the rapture of being alive. The rapture of feeling being alive. Having our mind and our body in the same place at the same time solves about 99% of the matter. The other 1%, of course, is what we decide to do with it, right? So what happens inside your mind when I say those words? Our true health, our wealth, is based on the principle that God is life and that this life is our life now. We can't create it. We can't destroy it. Even when we're in the throes of illness or discomfort or disease or divine discomfort, our health pattern remains as a spiritual pattern in our subconscious mind, and it awaits our recognition and our actual decision that it shall again become operative. It can't be ignored, it can be ignored and even denied, but it can never, ever be destroyed. And because we have been created out of this perfect whole life, each of us is health, not healthy, is health. Each of us is life, not merely alive. And each of us is the infinite intelligence, not just the thinker. Each of us, a glorious means by which infinite experience as spirit acts on the plane of the finite. We are the taker of the infinite in order to be the giver to the finite. We are the taker of the infinite in order to be the giver to the finite. So we've been given perfect health, perfect wealth as the essence of our beingness. Are we going to take it? There is a spiritual wealth of healing power within us, waiting our affirmative call upon it. And it begins its perfect work when we decide to be health and wealth and think as health and wealth would think. Dr. Holmes reminds us that the fundamental principle of our whole teaching is that we live in a self-existent universe, self-sustaining, self-energizing, self-perpetuating, self-knowing, self-acting, and that the entire manifestation of life exists for the delight of its creator. So let us leave here today knowing we're not here to get saved. We're not lost. We're not broken. We are not here even to glorify God. God isn't that much out of material. We're here to be fit for life. We are here to express that which is, as we account for all those inward feelings that we have, nebulous, incoherent at times, sometimes nearer the surface than at other times. A steady, persistent, pure wholeness, back of all things, that which divinely urges us to live, to sing, to dance, to express life, to create. Let's do this. We can say yes to life, just as life says yes to us. And as Sandy Harris sang, reclaim our place among the stars. And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.